All right, welcome to Chewin' a Yak, New Orleans interview show with New Orleanians of note. I'm Chris Champagne, your host. We're on WAMF FM 90.3, New Orleans, Louisiana. Today's guest is funny man, Mike Strecker. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Chris. Glad to be here.
You ever get tired of being called funny man, or should I call you something else?
I love being called funny man.
All right.
Okay. Better than unfunny man.
I felt kind of unclean calling you funny man. Not that you aren't a funny man, because you are, but it just seems so, you know, generic, you know, funny
right.
man.
Funny man.
You know.
It always seems a little...
Laughmeister. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little smarmy.
Yeah, a little smarmy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, Mike Strecker is one of the New Orleans's, and has been for some time, one of New Orleans's finer stand-up comedians.
Thank you.
And I know what I'm talking about, because... so, but we're going to talk to Mike about comedy, if you will. We do have henchmen in the other room to make you talk about what we want, in case you don't. But we haven't had to rely on those yet.
I don't want any trouble.
But we're here to talk about your authorship. You have a new book out.
Yes.
And it's called Jokes for Crescent City Kids. And how long has it been out?
It just came out in late September.
Oh, okay. Well, it's fresh off.
Fresh
smell
off.
It. Yeah, it smells like fresh bread.
I love the smell of books.
Yeah. And of course, this follows your other two books that you wrote.
Yeah. Young Comics Guide to Telling Jokes, Book 1 and 2.
Now, the difference between this one and that one is this one is, of course, Jokes for Crescent City Kids, but it's also by a local publisher, as opposed to the other one was more of a national publisher.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. The Jokes for Young Comics Guide to Telling Jokes, it was published by Sterling out of New York, and this is published by Pelican out of Gretna. And I'm so glad to be working with a local publisher and folks you can call up and talk to.
Right. You can actually. I prefer that because
I
have a new thing that I do now. I make people take their shirt off, their arms are bare. So when I talk to them, I can talk to them really close to their arm and they can feel what I'm saying in their arm hair. So that's the kind of thing you can do with people.
Exactly.
I didn't mean to say that Pelican is a national publisher because they certainly do.
Yeah.
They have an incredible catalog of a vast array of titles and different things. So, and they're actually, they're one of the unsung, one of the unsung going things here in New Orleans Press, I think, as far as that's concerned.
Kind of a hidden gem. Yeah. Wonderful
yeah,
people.
Yeah, it is, actually. Well, so where can you get the book, first of all? Let's get that out of the way. We'll say it a few times.
Right, sure. It's available at all area Barnes & Noble stores. It's the Beauregard House has it. Another couple of specialty stores that sell a lot of New Orleans merchandise. They have it. Tulane's Bookstore has it. And, of course, Amazon has everything, including my book and my house for sale.
Well, I can see that. I you have a glossary of New Orleans terms. I might have to...
Now, you're the master there.
I may have to steal something.
Don't critique
me. Well, not necessarily steal, but, you may have come up with something, a yadism that I don't know.
Right.
I'm actually working on a third edition.
Are you really?
Yes.
Awesome.
So I don't think it'll be out for this Christmas, but because of other things that my publisher has to do, but I've actually pretty much finished the what I hope will be the definitive edition of the Yak Dictionary.
Right.
But enough about me, at least for a couple of seconds. So how did this come about, the jokes for Crescent City Kids?
I wrote the... And actually, I wrote it around the time of the Young Comics Guide to Telling Jokes. I just realized as I was writing the jokes for the sort of national audience, I was reminded again of what a unique place we live here in New Orleans and Louisiana. And as I was writing jokes for a national audience. Jokes would present themselves that I realized, wow, we're very local. And I thought, well, only a local person would get that. And I'm like, hey, why not? We have local kids here. And I'm so excited about the book. We do. Look around you.
I thought they're all important.
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of a it's kind of cool because this is, I kind of feel like this is an inside joke that we can all share sure. with one another and share with our kids.
And people in New Orleans, they like books about New Orleans and about themselves in essence. Yeah. About themselves.
Right.
Now that you mention it, my ex-wife told me that all children were imported.
Were imported
yeah.
from.
Yeah. You know, I thought there was something wrong with that.
I thought they came from Toro.
Yeah. I mean, well, she, you know, she definitely said, kept her distance from me.
Right. Okay. Well, she put a tariff on you.
Yeah, yeah. But thankfully for me, as it turns out, but that's another story.
Yes.
Well, it's fun. You had fun doing this, I would imagine.
I had a great time, you know, and it's just amazing. It was more difficult in a way because you're obviously dealing with a smaller universe. So when you're just confining yourself to New Orleans and really all of Louisiana, but the other books were, you know, global. You could write about anything, but I was a little restricted here.
I'm going to have you pick out a couple in a second, but I want to ask you a couple of questions. What kind of feedback did you get from the other two books?
Wonderful feedback, you know, from both kids and parents. Parents would write me and say, "Hey, I love these two. I love sharing them with my kids." And my favorite part, I guess, of the book is actually getting out there and getting in front of kids and talking to them about it, and then having them come up and performed some of the jokes from my book, but also their own jokes, and just seeing they're so enthusiastic and so unafraid and just everything good about a kid. Yeah. That's what they are, and they get out there with just the pure joy of comedy.
Well, you know, it sounds like a really great rewarding experience actually all around. And you know, I've known you for a while. I can't think of a more perfect person to write this book. You know, for one thing, and I think if you read the book, you'll realize that as well. And you have your own, you have two sons of your own,
yeah,
which I'm sure helps to plug into the ethos of that age group.
I think so. I notice this happens to performers when they have children. They start producing things for kids. You know, a lot of musicians do it. A lot of I never thought it would happen to me, but I never thought either would happen to me, being a father or writing a children's book. But I enjoy it.
Well, it comes through in what you do, and you're a great comedian as well, and you're a fine gentleman.
Thank you, Chris.
I mean, you just are.
And, thank you very much. You are too.
I'm 96% of the time.
Well, that's not bad.
No, it's not. In fact, it's great. I should win the Nobel Peace Prize for that alone.
That's an A. That's an A.
If I can stay over 95, I'm exerting a lot of energy. Well, why don't you read us a couple of your...
Sure. Let's see. And somebody's very local. What could you use to paddle your P-Road through storm waters? A Margaret Orr.
There you go.
Here's another. What do you call Travers and Fletcher Mackle praying?
Twin spires.
No, that's close. That's not bad. Holy Mackles.
Oh, Holy Mackles. Yeah.
So they're very...
So it's all about WDSU.
Yeah, I know, the whole thing, brought to you by WDSU.
Do they know this?
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping maybe you should tell them.
You know, I should tell them. Hey, you're in my book. Promote it.
Well, go ahead.
No, I had one more. What did the artist, what was the first thing the artist did who was hired to draw a portrait of the saints? He drew Breeze.
Oh, there you go. That's very topical. You brought the record last night. Well, listen, you know... Well, we'll read a couple of more.
All right. Yes.
Well, you can read them anytime you want. You can just break in. But
I'm reading to myself.
I didn't want to, you know. Right. I wanted to say something
about
the concept of the other books and this one. I think it's. We talked about this one time before. We had another discussion on another show, and I think it's just an incredibly good idea, a great idea for this book, because I think that in our society now, there's a little cachet, I think, of to be a comedian, because comedy is such a big part of our public life now, you know, with the Daily Show and, you know, Colbert or whatever. I mean, it's much more than it ever was in a political sense, but I think it's also, you know, if you talk to a little kid at a party, they might be intimidated because you're an adult, you know, you're not, you know, in their little sphere there. But if you tell them that you're a comedian, a lot of times that kind of piques their interest.
Mm-hmm.
So these kids are interested in that.
They really are, yeah.
So it's something really, something that a parent or an uncle or an aunt or a grandmother or could really share with their children, you know, to read the book together or just as a gift. I think it's a great, great, fabulous gift. Of course, Christmas is coming up, as it is every year.
Right.
And
they're going to have that again this year.
They do, yeah. In fact, that's my economic plan, 12 Christmases a year. We have one, you know, we have one every month.
That's right.
We'd be booming, you know. But I just think it's a fabulous idea that kids, you know, what are the age groups you think would be perfect for this?
Yeah, I'm thinking like from 6 to 12, you know. And then you'd skip, and then you could go to adults. You know, there's period. That teen years, maybe not. Maybe early teens. But you're so right about kids, to the greater degree than when we were kids.
Right.
They consider comedy as a career.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like you, you know, like me, you always liked comedy. But I would have never said, if someone asked me what I wanted to do when I got big, I would have said,
right,
I wanted to be Archie Manning, not
right,
Milton Berle or Johnny Carson, you know.
Yeah.
How old am I? Milton Berle. Wow.
Yeah. I would have said Warren Berger, but not anymore.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I mean, first of all, I was such a shy kid. I would have never even
dreamt
that I could do such a thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I never had that dream, really. I mean, but so that's good, though. That's another good thing about the book, though. It could unleash in a kid, you know, their talent and their interest, and could give them impetus to be able to at least give it a try.
Give it a try, and you know, as you know, I mean, comedy, getting comfortable in front of an audience is going to help a child or adult no matter what they do.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. In fact, I probably, this is a little bit of a personal thing, in fact, a very personal thing.
Not too personal.
No, well, it's pretty personal.
Oh, wow.
It has clothes on, though.
Oh, good.
So it's not that personal. I have a hat on, and I was always so painfully shy. I mean, it's just unbelievable, really. I mean, even when I was a teenager, I was just terribly shy. And when my dad passed away, you know, I was seriously into adulthood at that point, thankfully.
Yeah.
And you know, you go to funerals, and they ask you if you want to get up and say anything. And most of the funerals that I went through in my life, people didn't say anything. You know, the priest might say something or whatever. But I got up, and I made a speech that I prepared, you know, which is about, you know, I guess about 15 minutes, maybe a little bit less. And was able to make that speech because I had been on stage. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to.
And that's when you're...
So it was kind of an important thing for me, actually, looking back. You know?
Yeah, right. And that's what most people, you know, are called to do on... And are so nervous about, you know, talks like that, reading at a wedding, you know, giving a toast at a wedding or something. And most people aren't going to get up on stage and perform comedy.
I'm still kind of shy about certain things.
I am, too.
You know? And it's hard for people to explain. I was talking to somebody about that the other night, a friend of mine. She's known me for, you know, 20 years now. And she couldn't believe that I was ever shy. I said, it always amazes me how when people meet you, they act as if you were born the day that you met them.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean?
Nothing happened before.
No.
Right.
I mean, they don't think of it like that. I mean, that's not an evil thing or anything, but it's just amazing.
Yeah.
People can't get that. And I mean...
Well, it's just like you never think of your parents as having a life really before you.
Right.
You know?
In my case, it was they had quite a rich family, a rich life before me, as it turns out.
Right.
But after I came, it was all over.
Life
ended.
Right.
Okay, so that's true, and other things about our parents too, but we won't get into that.
Right. We could go on for days.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, and but not on the air. The FCC would stop us. Well. You have any more you want to read before we get?
Oh yeah, let's see.
And again, you can get them at Barnes and Noble. You can get them on Amazon.
Right.
And, you don't have to have them at any other stores like Octavia or stuff like that.
You know, Pelican's working. I think they probably will be.
Well, yeah, Pelican will probably get them.
Yeah.
I forgot. It's like an actual publisher.
Right.
I mean.
Where's a good place to raise a child in New Orleans? on Bourbon Street. What happened when someone stole the chimes from the church on the West Bank? They stole the chimes from the church on the West Bank. There was a bell chase.
Ah, okay. There you go.
Oh, I like this one. I like them all. No. Where does the Pope go to relax when he visits New Orleans? Pontiff Playground.
There you go.
So there's something for everybody.
Well, how long did it take you to... I mean, you said you had compiled some of them when you're doing the other book.
Right. So that's been a couple of years. You know, it's funny. How long did it take? Gosh. I don't know. You know, because it was kind of like an ongoing... process, you know.
Sure,
I guess a few months, you know, 5 or 6 months, something
well,
like
you know
that.
Like when I did the dictionary, I mean, you got it's like when you, or you went any book for that matter,
yeah.
I mean, it's got to be finished sometime,
right?
So it is kind of a problem is you continue to compile things and you say, well, when am I gonna, you know, cut this thing off and get going here?
And especially, you know, it's hard when at the time I wrote it I wasn't under it.
Any deadline,
right, from a publisher. So it's hard to, you know, self-imposed deadlines aren't really in granite.
This is kind of a personal question, and I don't want any numbers or anything. Yeah. How well did the other books sell?
Well, they sold, well, in fact, they were considering a third book, which was promising. And I'm still hoping for that in the future.
Yeah.
They're like, well, let's hold off, but they're still ongoing, and they're I know it's on Amazon. They're still holding their price, you know. So
okay.
So I, you know, they're
good.
They're in there, you know.
It's a real tenuous thing, you know, what sells and what doesn't sell. But I would think that this would be something that would have some legs and would continue to sell at a decent pace.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that's true.
And they always sell well. I've never had a problem selling them out at after shows.
Okay.
You know, so they're real. They're popular. That face to face sales.
Have you done any schools like speeches? And
I have done. Yeah. In fact, you mentioned that you were by the JCC. I did a presentation there. I've done presentations for Studio in the Woods and for different schools.
Oh, that's right.
And I have some upcoming too with the new book. Yeah.
Well, you know, an idea, I don't know if you thought of this before, but I mean, if you could get some sponsors, I mean, because if you went to some inner city schools where they don't have a lot of economic, you know, resources, get somebody to buy a batch for a couple of, you know, classes and go speak to them. Because I mean, you can't really sell them to a kid that, you know, doesn't have any money.
That's right. Yeah.
You know what I mean,
yeah.
But I mean, that maybe something you might want to think about, because I think that it would be a good thing to get into the hands of more kids in this city, especially. I mean, so much of the environment. I mean, I read the news every day because of what I do, and
it's awful. Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
Yeah, and the good thing about comedy, you know, it's not an expensive hobby,
right?
You know, I mean, I'll
wear the same clothes every time.
Right.
Yeah, that's been going on for years. I have to wash them, but I mean, you know.
A person I was preparing my tax, she was like, well, do you have any special expense with comedy? It's like, well, not really. And it's like, well, what about like...
psychiatric illness.
Right, right. That's right. Yeah, but,
you forgot about that. Yeah.
You know, but it's low cost. There's no, you know, you have to wear clothes, of course. Usually not even equipment, you know. You don't have...
That's true.
Some comics have their own microphone and PA system, I guess, but...
It is a real efficient enterprise,
right,
at
right,
least.
Right,
you know.
And that's why one thing I like about it, kind of bare bones, just words, basically.
Yeah.
Words and gestures.
Right. It would be perfect if we could just get somebody else to book our events.
That's the hard part.
You know?
Yeah.
Get people to come.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be like... perfect. But we can't have perfect.
No, it's not a perfect world.
Well, tell you what, you want to demean yourself and play a little Wait, Don't Shoot Me?
I can't wait.
Okay, we're going to play Wait, Don't Shoot Me, the New Orleans game show that tries to explain the unexplainable New Orleans and Louisiana government and culture. But today we're going to do a little special version of it in honor of Mike. And it's going to be, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think 6, 7 questions about comedy.
All right.
And let's just, you mind talking about comedy a little bit?
No, I love talking
because
about comedy.
Because we got a lot of time here.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that we'll talk some more about the book in a minute. Do you find, oh my God, I mean, do you find the environment as a stand-up has changed for you much?
You know, it hasn't changed as much for me. I know what you're referring to.
Yeah, you can't make fun of anything.
Right. I never did too much politics, but I noticed that it's sort of, you can't touch it now, almost.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to do political humor,
yeah,
which must be hard for you.
Well,
of course, you do more local, I think, is more.
Yeah, well,
it's safer.
I try to stay local.
Yeah.
Recently, mostly I have anyway.
Right.
I've never really done a national show except for 2008, mm-hmm, and there was an open seat in the White House then, so we had several candidates on each side, so I could make fun of beaucoup people.
Right.
Although I did get in trouble because people only want to hear what they want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, they didn't hear exactly what I said.
Right.
But they decided what I said.
Right.
Even if it's not what I said. But that's another story.
See, you need to go into comedy, I think, is both a performer and an audience member saying, I just want to hear and say what's funny.
Yeah.
Not, I want to hear something funny that supports my cause.
Right.
Just if it's funny.
Well, you know,
if it's funny, it's funny.
You know,
that's what
when I do my shows, now obviously if you're doing a show about politics, if you're a human, which I purported to be,
right,
you know, your own viewpoint's going to come through.
Right.
But at the same time, I try to make fun of both sides. I even make fun of people that I agree with.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I try to.
Yeah.
But of course, that's lost in the shuffle because it's such a toxic environment that we live in,
mm-hmm,
general.
I agree.
Well, we'll get back to that in a minute.
Okay.
But let's because maybe some of these questions might actually get us into a deeper discussion about comedy. Okay, the future of comedy. Now, let me explain this to our listening audience out here, where you're listening to WAMF FM 90.3 FM in New Orleans, to Chewin' the Yak, an interview show with notable Orleanians, let's hope. Today's guest is comedian Mike Strecker, who has a new book called Jokes for Crescent City Kids, which are jokes for kids that are based on things in the city. And this is his third book of Jokes for Kids, and it's really a great book, and it'll be a great gift for the children in your life. But he's a nice man, so he's going to play Wait, Wait, Don't Shoot Me. Now, Wait, Wait, Don't Shoot Me is, like I say, it's a game show, New Orleans game show, and Chris Champagne, that's me, the host of Chewin' the Yak, makes up these questions and makes up the answers. So don't blame it on Mike. Blame it on me, okay?
Blame it on the rain.
Yeah.
There's a throwback.
The future of comedy is A, people standing silent alone in a remote forest with faux amusing themselves.
Right.
Or B, the future of comedy is war. Or C, the future of comedy is Bill Cosby.
Wow. Well, you know, I've done quite a few A shows like that.
Yeah, I mean on purpose, though.
Yeah, not on purpose,
no,
right,
no,
right.
Yeah.
But I would say the correct answer, or it's rather subjective, the answer you're looking for would be B.
War.
War.
Yeah, war. I'm afraid so. War is the future of comedy. Which one of these do you think was the best
comedian? Which was the future of war? Comedy, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be.
That's the flip side.
That might work.
Right.
Okay. Depending on whether we had more comedy or more war.
And your enemy could say, you're killing me.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're killing me.
Who was the best of these comics, in your opinion?
Mm.
Okay.
Am I on there?
A, Bob Hope. B, Jacques Tati. Or C, Content Floss.
Well, since I've only heard of one.
go ahead.
I'm going to go with A.
Bob Hope.
Mr.
Okay.
Bob Hope.
Well, actually, if you press 2 for Spanish, it would be Content Floss.
Oh, Content
Floss. Because he was Mexican. He was like a Charlie Chaplin of Mexico, basically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was really...
I've actually never heard of him.
Yeah, he was huge in Latin America.
Well,
in fact, you remember the movie, you might not remember because you're a young man, Around the World in 80 Days?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Passport 2 was Content Floss.
Wow.
In other words, he was an international star, but not so much here.
Yeah.
But in the rest of the world, Latin America. And that was a star-studded cast. So he was kind of a really big star, even though he was like the second banana to David Niven and that thing.
Well, what was Bob Hope's real name? Wasn't it Leslie?
Leslie Hope. It might have been Leslie Hope.
Leslie Hope, yeah.
or Leslie King. Leslie King was Gerald Ford's real name.
Really, Leslie King?
He was adopted.
Oh, wow.
By Mr. Ford.
Huh.
Yeah. We have two presidents in the United States, at least, that were adopted.
Bill Clinton was
Bill
adopted?
Clinton, yeah,
sure was.
Bill Blythe, William Blythe was
wow.
his name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Al Franken, remember him?
Yeah, Al Franken.
Al Franken is A, irrelevant, uh-huh. B, funny to a few, the proud, the maroons, or C, not smart enough and not good enough.
and darn it, people like me.
Yeah.
What are you? I would say the answer you're looking for is A. Am I correct?
Probably so. Yeah.
Actually, I think you would go with all three of them.
I'm not necessarily looking for an answer, but
right.
I'll accept that.
Maybe there is no answer.
Well, listen, have you thought about comedy in Burma very much?
Burma.
Or Myanmar, as it's called now.
Oh, yeah. I was until they changed the name.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's been
a shame when you've never heard of either of them.
It's been in the news quite a bit because of the Rohingya and the Aung San Kim, whatever her name is, who was the Nobel Prize winner,
right.
the president, and she's been, you know, hasn't been doing what the progressives or what people wanted to do. She's been they've been like throwing people out of the country because they're ethnicity,
wow.
which is not usually a thing which you get the Nobel Peace Prize
no.
for. But you know, Burma, it's kind of tough to be a comedian in Burma.
Yeah.
In fact, you probably have to go to Thailand to be a Burma because they throw you in jail quite often.
Wow.
For like 7 years, 8 years, something like that for telling jokes.
Imagine being there saying, "Wow, that killed in Thailand." I don't.
And I was reading about it killed in Thailand. The Burmese,
and they killed me in Burma.
Yeah. Let me see if I can. This is a Burmese joke that I saw from one of the Burmese
all
guys.
Right.
Yeah. A guy from the United States said that an American could climb Mount Everest without arms. And then a Russian said that a Russian could swim across the Atlantic without arms.
Wow.
And then a Burmese man said, in order to be president of Burma, you have to have no head. For 20 years, you could do that.
Right.
But you can be the president of, you can lead Burma for 20 years without a head. Not got a big laugh.
It got him in trouble, though.
But he was in Thailand.
Oh, so he
wasn't going home anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah.
That reminds me of it's a formula joke. I went to see Mort Saul once. Mm-hmm. 2006. I was in San Francisco, and Mort Saul was going to be like, you know, David Little Show. So, and Mort Saul, if you don't know, I mean, Mort Saul is really the one that started comedy on to where it is now. Before Mort Saul, everybody was like Bob Hope.
Mm-hmm.
They would do jokes. If it was about politics, it was kind of like mamby-pamby. But Mort Saul was the first comedian in the early 50s to really go for politics. So he's the one that really started the ball rolling. If you ask any of the comedians, the big-name comedians who were involved in the scene nationally back in the early 50s, they would tell you that the most important comedian was Mort Saul.
Oh.
Lenny Bruce would be the second because mm-hmm. he'd be free speech issues,
yeah.
But Mort Saul's at the top of the food chain. So anyway, so I went to see Mort, and he was—he looked great. I was like, it was 2006, and he was—you know—he had to be like 80 almost, mm-hmm. you know. And he looked the same. Hair was the same color, and he had the sweater on. But he told a joke, and it was kind of like that one.
Yeah.
And it was, now Mort Saul could tell this joke. I can't tell it, so I'm telling it for Mort.
Uh-huh.
So I don't want people to get mad at me. There was an American, a Russian, an Ethiopian, and an Israeli. Mm-hmm. Like at a press conference. And the first question was, excuse me, what is your opinion about the meat shortage? And the American said, what's a shortage? And the Russian said, what's an opinion? And the Ethiopian said, what's meat? And the Israeli said, what's excuse me?
Oh.
you got to be more solid to get that one,
right.
I guess. Okay, now... What is prison? What is slang for prison in Burma? This one is the right answer.
Okay.
A. Texas. B. Home. C. Moscow.
Wow. And slang.
Mm-hmm.
Is it B? Home.
Moscow.
Moscow.
Moscow means jail.
Yeah, jail. Well, that makes sense.
So I guess they, you know.
Siberia. You think they would? Be.
Yeah. Well, Burma. Well, Myanmar is a long way from Russia.
Right.
Because
right.
it's closer to Russia than Slidell, but that's
right.
you know. Okay.
That's neither here nor there.
Now, this is the question that'll get everybody in trouble. Okay, the American left, in a recent article in New York Magazine,
mm-hmm.
said that comedy, A, should only be allowed if you have a prescription. B, is another form of colonialism unless we say otherwise.
Wow.
Or C, doesn't have to be funny.
That, and there's an actual answer to this?
That's right.
Is it C?
Yes.
It doesn't have to be funny.
It doesn't have to be funny.
Now that's kind of funny.
It is.
Well, if it's not funny, what is it?
It only has to be a story with emotional impact.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be funny.
So it could be sad.
So, that's right. So in that case, that would mean that A, comedy could be being eaten alive by a carnivorous parrot. Well, it tells you a story.
Right.
B, it could be being robbed and shot to death with exposition by a robber. Or C, it could be being hit by saying, why does a chicken cross the road? And a chicken stabs you.
Right.
Anything could be comedy.
Could you imagine, though, going to... It could be sad, so you could come back from a comedy show and they'd say, how was the comedian? Oh, he's great. He was sad.
He was sad, yeah.
And they would think you were being sarcastic.
Well, if they need a bill, tell them to bring me a bus and I'll drive around New Orleans and I'll fill it up for them.
Wow. It can be just any kind of emotion.
I had a friend.
It's just evocative of...
That
doesn't make sense.
Oh no! Well, it's just it's like the American art scene.
Right.
It's BS
right.
to the 18th power, because I can't count to 19.
If I could
come higher than 18, then it would be another number.
Exponential.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I almost put it on Facebook. I wanted to, but I didn't want to get into like a discussion about that.
Right.
I tried to copy it, send it an email, but I couldn't do that. So I meant to go back and see if I could find the article so I can really read it. But I mean, I read some of it, and it's like, my God almighty. There was comments. One of them said, let me blow my brains out now. Okay, I was writing the comments. But I mean, you know, I mean, I once, this is going to be about me, so let me stop. Maybe stop and ask one more question about comedy, and we'll get back to you. I'm like that. I love talking about myself. If you were a comedian, which you are, what country would you rather be in? A, Canada, B, Guatemala, or C, Saudi Arabia?
Wow. I would have to say, it seems like a trick question, but I would just have to go with Canada.
Okay. Well, this is a matter of opinion.
It's less travel time.
Okay. In Canada, they have the human rights tribunals.
Uh-huh.
So if you make fun of somebody the way they look or something, they can take you to court. Not to court, but to a human rights tribunal. And they have been people. Some guy made fun of the way this public figure looked. Yeah, well, he was a public figure because everybody in Canada knew who he was.
Oh, that makes
him a public figure.
Right, sure.
He was just a guy, but the Pope, he sang for the Pope.
Okay.
So everybody knew him in Canada.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the guy made a joke about him. He did it constantly, evidently, in his act. So the guy brought him, and his mama brought him to the Human Rights Tribunal because it was hurting his feelings. And he got fined $15,000,
wow.
A comedian. Okay. Now, Saudi Arabia, you have to do comedy at private houses.
Okay.
In fact, there was a guy, he was from Egypt, and he was making a name for himself, and he made a joke that he shouldn't have made, so they had to sneak him out the country. So you don't want to go there.
No.
Okay.
But neither of them sounded too attractive.
In Guatemala, the president of Guatemala is a comedian. He was elected president.
That's where you want to go.
So that's where I would want to be at the moment.
Guatemala, you're right.
They'll probably end up like shooting him, okay, but that's another story.
Right.
Okay.
He can't play Canada, though.
No, Canada. They can have Canada, okay.
Guatemala.
The more I learned about Canada, the more it made me sick to my stomach.
We're at the gateway of the Americas.
You know, I was, Guatemala might be close, as you just pointed out, to Canada, but we'll have to figure it out. We don't want to be incorrect here on Chewing the Yak.
That's right.
On WAMF. FM 90.3 in New Orleans. You listen to Chewing the Yak with Chris Champagne, your host, and Mike Strecker, our guest. Mike Strecker, a comedian who has a new book, Jokes for Crescent City Kids. And you can get them at Barnes & Noble. You can get them on Amazon. It's published by Pelican.
Yeah,
and,
Pelican.
And are you appearing anywhere soon?
Yeah, I'm going to be... I may be on the 18th at Zucca Baby... signing some books there, and I have some. And on December 8th, I'm going to be in the Baton Rouge Barnes & Noble's, and early December I'm going to be in at the Barnes & Noble in Metairie.
Okay, and if I'm not mistaken, you're going to be somewhere in November.
I'm going to be, where am I going to be in November? I'm going to be with, yes, with Chris Champagne and Walt Handelsman. Very excited, that's right. That was a lead into that question.
I don't even remember what day it is. I got to remember it.
I know the Saints aren't playing that day.
Oh, it's a Sunday?
No, it's a weekday, but we were going to have it on Monday night, and Walt's wife called.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, that's a little sidebar.
Okay, good. Okay, well, yeah, I'm looking forward to that a lot, too.
Yes, in November. I probably have it on my
Why don't you read a couple of more jokes
right.
for the kids? And this is a great book for kids. Christmas is coming up, obviously, and if you're looking for something that it's very affordable. He has the other two books. So what are the other two books' names?
Young Comics Guide to Telling Jokes, Book 1 and 2.
Are those at Barnes & Noble as well?
Yes, they are, yes.
Because those are really good, cheap books to give to, for gifts to your kids in your life. And Mike is looking through... and by the way, let's mention the artist that there's some artwork involved in the book. And why don't you jump...
I'm so glad you... Yeah, Vernon Smith, great guy. I'm so glad you mentioned him. The illustrations are beautiful. The cover is beautiful. I didn't know Vernon until this book came out, but he's a wonderful illustrator. He's got some books that he's authored as well, but they just add so much to the book. You'd like this one, Chris. What should you say to encourage a New Orleans author?
I don't know.
Yeah, you right.
Okay, all right. There you
That's
go.
Right up your alley.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, you get trouble saying that sometimes.
Why did the U.S. Mint open in New Orleans?
I don't know. I don't know.
It made sense.
Ah, okay. There you go.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Well, there you go. It's called Jokes for Crescent City Kids, and for those of you who haven't heard Mike in person doing his stand up, he's what you call a clean comedian. He doesn't use any nasty words, like a lot of people seem to need to do. So if you ever see him, his name on the bill anywhere, you should go out. If you like comedy, you should go out to him because he's very, very, very good.
Thank you, and of course. Chris Champagne, a New Orleans legend, the Champagne of comedians.
Yeah,
that's I love the intro of you like that.
Yeah.
Am right. I the only one that does that?
No, they all do it.
It's on my hack.
They all call me a legend. They're kind of hoping that I'll go away because then I'll be a real legend. he's a legend. He's not here anymore. Thank God.
The posthumous Chris Champagne.
Yeah. No, I saw sometime somewhere where my dad's given a nickname of Ed Bubbly Champagne. I don't remember him ever saying that. You know, so you get all that. You know.
Okay, that's all mine.
You know, but you know, whatever. But do you have any ideas for other books like jokes for Saudi Arabian children? I've just talked about that.
Right. Oh, I'm thinking about writing a third edition of Young Comics Guide.
Oh yeah, you said that before.
Yeah. And, I don't know, I think if I came up with, another children's joke book, it may put a strain on my marriage because my wife has to hear every one of these, even the ones that don't make it. Like
Sure. Well,
no, but I'm enjoying them. They're really fun. They're, you do a lot of writing and, writing can be a lot of things. It can be liberating. It can be frustrating. It can be just really hard and difficult. These books, all three of these books, they were just pure joy to write. Pure joy.
That was my next question. I was going to ask if you had fun. So that's the answer.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if anything is that I've written is pure joy.
Yeah.
Maybe little bits and pieces.
Right.
Certainly. Depends what you're writing it for.
Yeah, most writing isn't,
But it's fun. It's fun. Yeah. I mean, mostly. I'll tell you one thing. It's a lot better than doing a lot of things. It's a lot better than digging a ditch. I can tell you that.
Or interviewing comedians.
Of course, digging a ditch pays better. But
that's right.
Because you're just digging a ditch. Because nobody wants to dig a ditch.
Right.
I did I did a lot. I don't know how much you know about this, but as a comedian, but I did a lot of research for something else that I was doing about comedians around the world. That's mm-hmm. why I got one of those questions, because I know of how it, situation like in Saudi Arabia, basically, you have to kind of do it like in people's houses.
Yeah,
you know, and because that's kind of a strange. You know, I mean, they have like that. The government actually beheads people there.
Right.
If a thing, so you gotta kind of be careful. And but Burma, I mean,
talk about a bad show.
I mean, people will write comedy pieces in a paper in Burma and throw them in jail for 20 years.
That's awful.
You know, and in Cuba, they have comedians, but you were not allowed to make fun of Fidel at all. They had like code words for him. Like one of them was the beard.
Right.
You know, and but still, I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, you think about it, how comedy can be viewed as dangerous.
It's
just an incredible, but it does show you the power of comedy that that governments do fear. You know?
Well, I mean, it's the only thing that people can use sometimes, like in Soviet times, or even Nazi Germany, I assume, and Cuba now. I mean, it's one of the only things that you have that you can fight against, you know, whatever's going on.
It's subversive. Comedy is subversive, and you can camouflage, you know, real subversive thoughts behind comedy. In other words,
it's kind of like, right, it's, I was reading about the Burmese comedians, and of course they were in Thailand,
right.
So they were getting big laughs, but they call themselves basically truth tellers.
Right.
And that's kind of what it is. I mean, comedy's kind of like, it's truth. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, even if it's exaggerated truth,
that's right.
And it's even based on truth.
Right, even if it's lighthearted truth, it's still truth.
Yeah, it's got to be truth, or it wouldn't be funny.
Or it wouldn't be, that's right.
You know, I mean, like George, my favorite quote, you know, people, you know, I love how on Facebook, but people put these quotes like, you know, Gandhi said this or Einstein said and that settles it.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, like one sentence, that says it all.
Okay? And most of them aren't even properly attributed.
Yeah. So, but this was from George Bernard Shaw.
Yeah.
It says, if you're going to tell somebody the truth, you better make them laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they'll kill you.
Yeah. Wow.
Go on with yourself, George Bernard Shaw.
Right. J.B. Shaw.
He's a legend, you know.
He is a
George
legend.
Bernard Shaw.
He is.
Because he's gone. He's like a wisp. He's a wisp on the breeze.
Yeah.
Well, you, how many times a year do you think you perform as a stand up?
How many times a year? I try to do a couple of shows a month, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
If I'm lucky.
Yeah.
But that, you know how comedy is. You don't, sometimes people are like, when's your next show? And it's like, I have no idea.
Right.
But I'm hoping, and then they come in spurts, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a nasty phrase to me.
Spurts?
When is your next show?
Oh. I thought spurts sounds kind of nasty.
Because I'll be asked by people 836 times a year, when is my next show, by people who have never
been to a show. That's
no
right.
Intention
no.
of ever coming. And it kind of, after a while, it kind of gets on your nerves.
Those are the same people that say, why don't you do some comedy, like right now?
Right. Yeah, tell me a joke.
why don't you come out and see me?
What's your middle name?
Right.
Well, no, I can't say your entire name unless you give me your middle name. I'll tell you a joke. I got your joke here. Right here, I got your joke. Yes, I only tell jokes. I mean, I just told one that Mort Saul said.
Right, right. But that's Mort's joke, yeah.
But I don't tell jokes.
No, you're more story.
Well, I don't know what I would call it, but it's not jokes.
Exactly. Rants, no.
You know what I mean? There's some context.
That's right. No, you can't. Yeah, I was so... Now I'm going to name drop. But I did do a show at the Sanger recently. I opened...
Okay,
it was a show, the biggest show I've ever done in my life. And it was... I was opening for the... it was a... fundraiser for the Shriners, and I opened up for this Michael Jackson impersonator from out of Vegas, very talented young man from Brazil. But before the show, the night before, we were at dinner, and someone was trying to get me to perform and him to perform. And of course, he's the headliner, and I'm like, wow, if he starts performing, I'm gonna have to perform.
You gotta do something.
But I was so grateful for him. He said, no, he said, you know, you have to have the setting. You have to have the context.
Right.
He's not just going to get up and sing.
I mean,
and
it makes you feel bad. It makes you feel bad when somebody asks you that, but they're really putting you on the spot.
What and they don't realize. Yeah, they think, hey, you're going to say something right there, and it's going to be funny, just like if you were on stage, and it's not.
Well, you know, I got a line. I usually must have that, but I used it one time at a party. And he said, he's a comedian. Oh, tell us a joke. I said, well, you know, I'm not really a comedian.
Right.
I'm actually an assassin. If you have some rope or a knife, I'll kill somebody.
Right, right, right.
And then they laugh. And then you can't win.
You can't win.
You can't win. You know? It's like, you know, I mean, like, my jokes are something like, you know, like I did think about the Sewage and Water Board. Like, I did, you know, 20, actually, I've been 40 minutes on a tour of Sewage and Water Board my last show.
Right.
And of course, I mean, you know, the Sewage and Water Board is good for like at least 400 minutes.
So you can retire.
But it's like, you know how they say in New Orleans, they say, you know, like, well, you know, they have the 100-year flood.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, it's like, a once in a 100-year event, but we have one like every year.
Right.
Okay. So I thought to myself,
we're just lucky.
Why don't they just come out and say, well, you know what? This was like a 91-year event.
Right.
You know, next time they go, well, this is an 88-year event. I mean, you know what I mean?
Give themselves some margin of error.
But there'd be some credibility.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to a hurry. Okay? We can't have a 100-year flood every year.
Right, right.
That's against logic.
Right. They should, and no one's going to call them on it, because it's like they should say, well, this is a 1 in 5 months event. Right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're right.
Well, we've got a few more minutes. Is there any questions that I haven't asked you about the book that you might want to...
Wow. I don't know. You know, it's interesting, though, when you said about people wanting you to do comedy off stage. I'll never forget, and this has happened a couple of times, actually, but one instance in particular. I'm at the table, and a group of people, and we're having a great time, and everybody's making each other laugh. It's wonderful, you know, and just one of those great, great, you know, gatherings, and everybody's having a good time. And then someone says, as the laughter trails off, well, Mike, you're a comedian. Why don't you say something funny? Mike,
well, we have been.
Right? Where have you been? Everybody's in on the show. You know?
Well, there's a term for that, but I can't say it on FM radio or AM radio either.
Doesn't begin with FM.
No. I'm not going to tell you what it begins with, okay? But we're listening to it, but that reminds me, listening to Chewing the Yacht with Chris Champagne, interview show with notable New Orleanians. Today's guest is Mike Strecker, a fine comedian and author of Jokes for Crescent City Kids by Pelican Press. And you're listening to WAMF FM 90.3 in New Orleans. There was something that I was going to say, and I can't think of what it was now, about people asking you. You know, I guess I should have something stock ready to tell people.
I know.
You know what I mean? I mean, if I wasn't so lazy, I guess I would do that. But it's kind of like I'm more spontaneous, you know?
And I don't think people realize how much they're putting you on the spot.
No,
think they're just being good natured and like,
not. It's, I know, like, that's the worst part about it, they're just being good natured.
So you can't really.
Yeah, it makes me think I'm an ancillary subplot in The Music Man.
Right.
Okay? You know, everybody's just so wonderful and they have pie.
Right.
So you can't be mean to them.
No, you have
and
to.
And I don't want to be mean to them. I want to be a nice guy. You know, I mean, I do. I really do. I really do. I swear. I tried my hardest, but man, it's hard. It's hard.
It's not easy.
It's not
Comedy's
easy.
Hard too.
That's what Ringo Starr told me. It ain't easy.
It ain't easy.
Yeah. Good thing I can't sing. I was doing. I went to a karaoke thing the other night at a party, and I don't do karaoke because I can't sing. There's this one friend of mine. She's after me to karaoke it up. But the funny thing about it was some guy who I had just had a big argument with, who I hadn't seen in 20 years, he came into the party. And I said, you know what? I'm a karaoke now. I want to do, you know, I won't back down by
Tom Petty.
Yeah. But I ended up showing.
He's a legend.
But I ended up going around showing some people, so I ended up dodging that bullet, and he did too, I guess. He's a nice guy. It's just like, God, it's like, you know, Facebook. I mean, if they would have had Facebook in, say, 1700, World War I would have started in 1701.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine? Oh, my God.
It kills me. We were talking about this earlier. People, they're different personas online.
Man.
I have friends on Facebook, and I'm friends with them in real life, and I'm friends with them on Facebook, and it's like, but you're unrecognizable.
I say almost nothing political on Facebook because I know who I am. I'm reactive, so I try. But man, you know, but just say anything.
Anything.
And it's like, oh my God.
Sometimes it doesn't even have to be political.
No, it doesn't. You know, and I mean, it's like, yeah.
Had an egg sandwich today. What does that supposed to mean?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it's supposed to mean. I mean, well, Mike, we have a few more minutes here, and you don't happen to have a harmonica on.
I know.
Okay, because I'm running out of questions to ask you about.
I could do some more jokes.
Yeah, sure, do that.
Yeah, they're always fun.
The name of the book again is Jokes for Crescent City Kids.
Jokes for Crescent City Kids.
By Mike Strecker. Or Michael Strecker. It says Michael Strecker.
Or it says Michael Strecker.
Okay,
yeah.
Well.
That must be me.
Well, some of them know yes. Some people know yes, Michael.
Yeah, that's true. My family calls me Michael. Well, and illustrated by the wonderful artist, Vernon Smith.
How does your family feel about you being a comedian?
My family has always been very supportive. Okay. And I think we can both agree, as you've shared, our families are responsible for us being funny.
Yeah, probably so.
You know?
Not that I'm going to get into psychology, because I mean,
right.
Sigmund Freud, not okay.
Right.
But,
I think so.
You know, I mean, Sigmund's a legend, too. I should say he's a legend by himself, not too.
Right.
And but he's dead, so
yeah,
there's not much I can, not much you can do to me now. He's done enough for one lifetime.
What would you call a dinosaur if he became King of Carnival?
Rex.
T-Rex.
T-Rex.
So close.
Oh, well. No cigar.
Oh, here's one. How does a Martian say goodbye?
I don't know.
He gives a green wave.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
He sure does. I know some Martians.
Yeah?
They know they green wave all the time.
What's the best?
Hell,
here's a champagne joke. What's the best champagne if the Saints win the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
Dom Perignon.
Ah, there you go. Well, I hope that we get to use that.
I hope so.
It was a great game. This is a week late that they'll be on the air, but Drew Brees broke the record on national television. That was pretty cool.
72,103 yards,
yeah.
Passing yards. That's wonderful.
I mean, as a father watching the game, how did you feel about the moment with his children?
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, and I told my son, he was in bed.
Okay.
And I told him, I said, Drew Brees just broke the passing yards, NFL passing yards record. And he said, has Atlanta broken any records? I said, well, son, you make me so proud. that dirty bird hatred that started early.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, this is fun. This is a fun one. What happened when Lake Pontchartrain got pregnant?
Twin spans?
Yeah. It had twin spans. How did the Huey P. Bridge get its name?
I'm not touching that one.
It's a long story.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah, absolutely. But like I say, it's a great gift for children, because children like, and it's something that you can sit and you can read with your kids. It's light readings for certainly. It's very short. And,
yeah.
You know, I made a joke about Mac's wife earlier in the broadcast, I guess you call it, and I was thinking about the book, because I remember one time I had a little compilation of the Wizard of Id cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
And we were at her mom's house, and after dinner, before we went home, we ended up sitting on the couch and reading them all together.
Yeah.
And it was kind of fun, because we had a lot in common in those days before the festivities.
Yeah.
And
Wizard of Id.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, Mike, I think we're almost out of time. Is there anything else you want to say about the book? You have in the back, you also have like a little Yak glossary.
Yeah. What that glossary. And I have, if I can find them, I also have some, rather than knock-knock jokes, knock-knock who dat.
Okay.
Where can I find one of those? They're somewhere in this book.
Okay, well, yeah, I think we have like about a minute left.
A minute left.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell this one. Who works at the Chalmette Refinery?
I don't know.
101 Chalmatians.
Ah, yeah.
And I love Chalmette. I just did a show in Chalmette.
Yeah, Chalmette's cool.
Chalmette's great. Great audiences.
half of them live in St. Tammany Parish now.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So you save your Shalmation jokes for Covington.
Right.
Well, listen, we've been talking to Mike Strecker about his new book, Jokes for Preston City Kids, and you've listened to Chewing the Yak, Chris Champagne on WANF FM 90.3. Tell your friends to listen, or tell them to run the other way, but tell them something. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Enjoyed it.
It's always nice to see you.
Thank you, buddy.
You're welcome. I'm Chris Champagne, your host. We're on WAMF FM 90.3, New Orleans, Louisiana.